And we thank the Lord for this privilege that He has given us again to come and meditate upon His Word. And indeed, what we have this evening is an encouraging verse, a verse that I pray would grant us the joy in our hearts as we live for the Lord. We are in a time where we see around us and hear every now and then news, bad news, news of wars and rumors of wars, news of crisis, economic crisis, news of deaths and disasters. And you might think that there is a dark, gloomy future ahead of you as young people. And indeed, the world is, as if we see it today, it's quite discouraging. We may say there is full of hatred, full of troubles, full of confusion. And we, as the inhabitants of this planet, think that we are all under this curse because we are all experiencing all these bad things that happened before us. But we thank the Lord that we are reminded that indeed we have to rejoice. There is a time for us to be glad, to be happy, to give thanks and to praise the Lord. We must be a people who will rejoice in the Lord, a people who will praise Him and acknowledge that He's indeed a good God, a generous God, God who is kind to us, that even though we have failed Him so much and so many times, still He is giving us, granting us our prayers, our desires in life. Especially for you young people, you have to be reminded that you are at the prime of your days on this earth. You can't be going back again into this time where you are quite strong, quite active, though restless, but you are tireless. Although many times you are sleepless, but you seem to be a machine that will keep on going and going and never get tired because you still have that energy. And there are many times that you want things to be done in the right way. You are so idealistic. You have some desires in life that it must be done this way. It must be done that way. And you prove yourself to be a person who wants to do what is right. And that is good. And indeed, this is the prime years of your life that you have to enjoy what God has given you. This is what Solomon here is describing for us, because after this, you will see that he is now recalling a time where, you know, you will not be enjoying life. Now you have a complete set of teeth. You have your perfect eyesight. You have a strength that can run against even horses. You can do many things. And yet, time will come that you'll be at our age where you can't even hear well, cannot see well, cannot chew well. Everything is not well. And you'll be a bit discouraged, distressed, because there are things that you want to do, I want to do, we want to do, but we cannot do it anymore. In those days where I was young, I thought that, oh, I can do it later. And I still have to do some other things. But now that I'm in my later years, past 50, then you think of doing things, but you're not able to complete it. The span of time that you can do it, or I could have done it when I was young, I cannot do it anymore. And so you'll be desperate. I should have done this before, but during the time when I was young, I was doing another thing. And this is the verse, this is the passage that God wants us to hear. And I pray you will listen intently to God's word and meditate upon it and ask God to let you understand. You may not understand what I'm saying, but let the Holy Spirit speak to you through this word so that you can pick up the lesson that God wants you to receive this evening. It is important. And we have here three commands in this one verse. Rejoice, that's imperative, that's a command. Walk, that's a command again. And know, you have to rejoice and you have to walk in this way. But you have to know. These are three important commands, imperatives in this verse that you have to take note. Yes, we are commanded to rejoice, but there is a prescribed way by which you can rejoice in your youthful days. And not only that, there is a prescription, there is also a warning, a caution, that you must be seeing and looking forward to what will be the consequence of your rejoicing. It's not just present day rejoicing. It's not just present day happiness and gladness. You have to look forward what will be the result of it. What is the consequence? What is the aftermath of this rejoicing I will have today? And if you will follow this guideline from Solomon, I believe you'll have a fruitful, truly rejoicing, or glad or happy life that the Lord will bless you because you are going or being guided by the word of the Lord. So rejoice. Since that you don't look like you're rejoicing, you are. So I hope we will be rejoicing, and this is what the Spirit of God tells us here through God's word, rejoice, and what it means to rejoice. Rejoice is to be glad, to be happy, to be lighthearted, to know, to be blessed, to be beneficial to others, and many things are these nuances of rejoice. But it simply says we have to be happy, to be thankful, to acknowledge that we are given such favor from God and a blessing from the Lord, strength, the intellect, the ability to do things, the wisdom that He gives us. Oh, you have so many as a young person. There are many things that you can do which we old people cannot do. I used to do my own thing in gadgets. Now I'm so dependent. My son, every time I ask, and he's the one who does things. It seems like he knows everything. I don't know, but maybe somehow he knows something that I didn't know. That's why I appreciated it so much. But that is the youthful days. You can quickly get on things. You can quickly do things. And it is good that you acknowledge it is a gift from God. It is God's gift for you, the strength, the knowledge, the ability, the agility that you have, where you can move from one place to another, do this and do that, from this place to another place. You have that gift from the Lord, that energy, that strength that He has given you. Why not rejoice? Why not be thankful? Lord, thank you for this. Why keep on pouting and questioning and murmuring and asking God, Lord, why do you do this to me? Why I'm here? Why I can't do these things? Others can do what I, why I'm in this school? Why I'm in this course? Why I'm in this place? Why I belong to this family? Why I'm in this church? There are many young people who just question and are not rejoicing over God's will in their lives. But here, the instruction is to rejoice. To rejoice. And to rejoice here is a command, and it's a command to you as Christians, believers. This is not a command for everyone. You're going to say rejoice to everyone who don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. What is there to rejoice for? And that is the meaning actually of this command to a young man. This is a singular command. This is not a general command. This is specific to a certain person who knows God. The idea of young here, yes, it is of youthful years, but it is the idea of a chosen person. One who is young, one who is chosen, like the kind of Daniel and his three friends. A young, chosen person. And he is the one instructed to rejoice. You're going to tell everybody, all Tom, Dick, and Harry, to rejoice. You're going to tell everyone to rejoice. What is there to rejoice when you are heading to hell? What is there to rejoice when you don't know God? What is there to rejoice when you don't know the blessings of God? But for you, you have a reason to rejoice. Imagine for all the billions of people in this world, you are chosen to be His child. You are chosen to receive that grace so that you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Are you more intelligent than others? Smarter than others? Prettier than others? More handsome than others? That's why you are chosen? No. We are all condemned. We are all dead people. We are all wretched. We are all undone. And yet, of all these undone people, dead people lining up over there, God chose you. Are you not going to rejoice? You can rejoice if you don't think you are saved. You can rejoice if you don't have the assurance of salvation in your life. But oh young man, oh chosen young man, you have to rejoice. And you have to rejoice especially in your youth. The idea of youth here is a childhood days or youthful days, or days where you are at your prime years, where you can have the strength and the time, and you can spend 3-4 days without sleeping and still you are active. Have you done that? My college days and teens, we can spend nights and nights on studying without sleeping. I mean, not 1 week, but about 3 or 4 nights, especially when we memorize anatomy and all these bones and muscles and all that. And you cannot just memorize one species of animal. You have to compare it with others. You have to be studying for days, nights. You're going to just read there and don't know where. During the practical exam, you have to point out and where is this in horses, in dogs, and cats. You have to know. And so you have to spend. But it seems like I can do it. At that time, I was not a Christian. So I don't acknowledge God as the one who is the source of my strength. I was just proud that I can do it. But for us as believers, we know. You know. You top in your, whoever will be taking your A-level, or you have done your PSLE, you have done well. Are you not going to rejoice and rejoice in the Lord? Thank God for that. It's not your intellect. It's not how you review. It's not the your school. It's not your tuition that gives you such grade. It is God. So we have to rejoice. There's so much to thank for. And in your days, in your youth, you don't have to worry about where to get money for food. What I'm going to eat tomorrow. In the morning, you wake up, there is mom preparing for your breakfast. You just have to go there and eat. For father and mother, they have to worry. Next week, next month, next year, what we will have. Okay? But for you, you just don't think my mom, my dad, they take care of them. They're preparing for me. And so everything, you just have to go study. You don't have to worry where to get money, where to get your allowances. You expect that your mom and dad will give you such. And of course, that's something you have to rejoice. Especially for you here, you are so blessed by God that you have this. There are many young men in other places. Imagine those young people in Gaza or in the Philippines or those people who don't have even food. I was just reminded a few days back that there was one doctor who advised me, okay, because your tummy is getting bigger, you have to have, what is this, omen? One meal a day. Wow. For us here who have so much food, I'm advised to take one meal a day. In the Philippines, we didn't have food before. It's a worry. It's a problem if we have one meal a day, you know. It's poverty. But here you have your advisor. I mean, things are opposite. You have so much food, you cannot eat. But you have to enjoy and rejoice. Thank God. There's schools, best schools, not only in this region, but in the international level. You're provided. You have a very healthy, clean environment. So you have to rejoice, thank God, and acknowledge that indeed God is blessing you, and you have your parents with you, guiding you, teaching you. You have a church that teaches God's word. Church that will not just bring you to have a chit chat and exchange business cards and you have a fellowship and have singing and all those Tai Chi walking in the church and after that's all. That's church. No, you study God's word here. So you're blessed. Why should we not be rejoicing in the Lord? Rejoice. And the way we have to rejoice, it is for you young people, because you receive so much blessings from God. And he says here, let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. What is the idea of cheer thee? The idea here of to cheer is to give the knowledge and understanding of what you have, what you receive. You cannot just rejoice with empty minds. What are these? You're happy and you don't know what are these things. That's strange. You have to understand it's given by this. God gave this. It's good for me. And that's rejoicing. You feed your heart and you cheer it in the days of the youth. You tell yourself, this is what I can rejoice, what I can be happy of, what I can be glad of, or what I can delight in my heart. Teach your heart. I mean, you put in your heart, in your mind, that this is God's provision for you. And thank God. So when let your heart cheer thee, it is with knowledge. It is with understanding. The heart here is not just the heart that is the biological heart that is pumping blood. It is with intellect. It is with emotion. It is with intellect. And it is giving you the understanding of why you are happy. If you don't understand why you are laughing and why you are smiling, that's dangerous. I mean, you need to check with the counselor. Maybe there's a mental problem there. You have to rejoice, and you know why you are rejoicing. And that's to cheer your heart. And to cheer your heart is to let your heart, let your intellect know that these are the things that you have to rejoice. Don't feed your heart with things that would dampen you, things that would just distress you, things that would depress you, that would cause many to just end their lives with suicide. If I... churchmate who is a Korean. And that's the problem with he said many they are already actors and successful, you know, performers, and yet suddenly they will just commit suicide because they are feeding themselves, they are feeding their hearts, their intellect, their emotions with things that would dampen them, that these are the things that would cause them to be depressed. And that's why they just commit suicide. But for us as Christians, we have reason to rejoice. And what are these reasons? You know, first and foremost is your salvation. This is one thing that you must rejoice. If you cannot rejoice with your salvation, there's a question with your salvation itself. You can rejoice in the morning, thank God for giving me a new life and I can serve you. Thank you for saving me and I can serve you, Lord. And you cannot say that in the morning, there is a problem with your spiritual life. It's either you are backsliding or you are truly out. You're just mimicking and trying to imitate Christianity, but you are yourself is not a believer. You have to rejoice because you know how great is the favor that God gave you when you are saved. It is beyond calculation. You cannot compare it with millions of dollars that you can receive salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's one thing. Your salvation, your opportunity to serve in the church, your part in the family, your being used by God as instruments to encourage others, to comfort others, even to share His word to others. That's a great blessing. That's a great joy. There was one brother who says, when you taste, or he tasted the, when he shared God's word and somebody came to attend. He didn't believe that time, but he came to attend the worship service. He says, wow, this is addictive, he said. That's his description. Addictive. The more that he wants, we have only a chanting, we have chanting only for two Sundays per month, but when he realized that, he said, it's addictive, that he will just go alone and share God's word to others. There's a joy. A joy of seeing one person who is outside of God's kingdom in darkness and totally to be condemned and yet now comes to the light. It is a joy. So see all, it's not positive mental attitude. Please understand this. It is to see God's working in your life that you have to rejoice. What are these things? I hope you can recall. And it happens, it is so much seen in your life as young people because you're still active. And you're free. You're not working, you're not forced to, of course you are in school, but you are not going to be, at this time I must be here, at this time I must be here. You are somehow free. You can choose your time, especially these holidays. You can have some kind of time to fellowship, to encourage one another. That's the cheering. Cheer, encourage. You know, in sports, they have cheering squads or whatever. And as they play, there are those classmates of theirs or in their own schools, they are cheering, they have some words to encourage, they are dancing, to encourage those who are playing. And that's the cheering, of course you'll be dancing for yourself, but that is to motivate you, to encourage you. That this is how God is working through me, how God is moving, my life, how God is using me. That's letting your heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. In our age, even how much we try to cheer our hearts, do this, do that, you walk for a little bit, you're tired. But when you are young, you can still do many things. Cheer your heart. And that is the part of the command to rejoice. But then we have to understand that in this command to rejoice, it is not just a rejoicing that you can do all the rejoicing in all ways. That even if you are bullying one person and he is, you know, you are happy, you are laughing with the others who are bullies, you're part of it, you rejoice. You've done some things that, you know, some cheating or whatever, and you successfully hide yourself from teacher or what, and you rejoice. And you have some other things that you have done, and you have not told this to your parents, and nobody knows it, and you rejoice. This is not the kind of rejoicing that God says here in His Word. There are prescriptions. It's like taking medicine. You have to take this, you have to cheer yourself, you have to give this to alleviate or to for you to have some support. But then when you take this, there are some prescriptions, regimen that you have to follow in order for you to experience and to receive the benefits of this medicine. You cannot just take Panadol every hour. You cannot just take that kind of medicine every day or every minute. There are prescriptions. And the Word of God tells us, yes, we have to rejoice. And in rejoicing, we feed, we cheer our hearts in the days of our youth. But there are two things here that you have to do. You walk first in the ways of your heart, second in the sight of thine eyes. The problem with our young people today is they just walk in the ways of their hearts. It's important to walk in the ways of our heart. Because the heart here, of course, we know that it is deceitful above all else. It is desperately wicked. But the heart also with our emotions. How can we enjoy, how can we rejoice without our hearts? I mean, with our emotions. Now there must be rejoicing, but in the ways of thine heart, as a believer, as a Christian, you have a different heart. You don't have any more that black heart, dead heart. You have now the heart with the heart of Christ. You have now the heart which is filled with the Spirit of God. You have now the heart with the Word of God. And so when you walk in the ways of thine heart, that's why you keep your heart for you keep your hearts, because here is in there are many things that you have to take note, because your heart might lead you to another thing. Your heart might cause you to love something, to delight in things that may not be according to God's word. But here with the ways of thine heart, which is as a believer, as a Christian, you are not dictated by God's word. You have to also complement it with the sight of thine eyes. What you see in reality. I don't know if you can understand this way. We have some kind of a, it's not actually a good word or description, but this is usually what happens among young people when they are supposedly to, they're in love. And so we say the love is blind. In English interpretation, of course, this, we have a different way, but this is the best way that I can translate it. Love is blind that even lovers cannot see. They're so blind that they cannot anymore see things. They just, oh, I just love this. I just love her. I just love this man. And you close your eyes, everything, because you just dictated by your heart's emotion. You know that he is behaving as an unbeliever. He just say that he's a Christian, but behaving as unbeliever, behaving disobediently. But you close your eyes because you think you love him. And for the men, you know that, oh, she's so worldly in her appearance, so carnal in her dressing, so much in the world. But because you love her, you close your eyes, you don't want to see, I just love this woman. I just love this girl. So move on with the relationship. Not looking or what other things, you know that she is just, if there is a way of describing, only her mouth says she's a Christian, but everything else is not. It's the way she dresses, the way she talks, the way she acts, the way she, her attitudes is everything not a believer. But you close your eyes because you love her. So also with the girls, the men. You know that he is not even coming to church, or maybe coming once in a while if you invite, and then you tell him to do this, you just have to fulfill that, never have even read the Bible. But even though you see this with your two eyes, you close purposely your eyes, you want to follow your heart. The Bible says you have to take note with your heart and with the sight of thine eyes. You have to look, you have to see. God gave us two eyes, one heart. And that is, young people, you have to rejoice. And in your rejoicing, you have to look at it. This is what my friends are doing. Trying to try vaping. You see. But you are taken in by, you know, your relationship, your good friends. Just, you know that this is wrong. You know, you see this something that is illegal or whatever. You just, anyway, do it because they're my good friends. So that's the reason why you might think it is, you're enjoying, you're rejoicing. You're happy, you're laughing, but there is no reason. Why? It's just in your emotion. You don't even see this. When you open your eyes, you know this is not the way. This should not be my way. I should not be here. If you open your eyes, you can say for yourself, I should not be in this place. I should not be with this company. I should not be with this friend. But you close your eyes because you follow your heart. The Bible says you have to open your eyes, you have to consider, of course, your heart, but in the sight of thine eyes. Open your eyes. That's why we ask the Lord, open my eyes. And with opening of the eyes, it's not just a vision, it's not just seeing, but with the discernment of God, the Spirit of God telling you, this is not the way for believers. This is not the place for you. It's a common thing for some young people. It's sad that I heard one church member who went to Philippines with her boyfriend. Just go around. Not married. And just spend their time out there. Saying, well, we attend a wedding and that's all. And just make some reasons. And they were staying in one room. I said, why? I'm a Christian who says she is a Christian. She's in FEBC. She was in FEBC. You have to open your eyes, please. You cannot just rejoice with your eyes closed. Let your heart know. Let your eyes see. With the spiritual eyes and the spiritual heart that you have Christians can rejoice truly in what is truth and what is real. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. So the idea of walking here is a command to live, to practice, to give yourself to ways of life that is guided by your changed heart and your vision, your eyesight, which is guided by the Lord. Problem with today's youth is you don't want to listen to this kind of counsels or ideas. But that's old fashioned. That's by the Bible. That's, you know, culture of the Jews last time during the time of Solomon. How long was this? How many thousands of years was this? That was the time of Solomon. Not the time of, you know, these present days. Not the time of Trump. It was the time of Solomon. We are now in the time of Trump, so we have different ways. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Not only that God says, okay, you are commanded to rejoice. There's a command for you to walk, and that is, there is a prescription that you have to have how to do it, how you can do it, how you can rejoice. But there is also limitations. You have to understand that you cannot just rejoice in everything, and including rejoicing in evil ways. Rejoicing in the ways of the world. Rejoicing in the unbelieving people's way. Rejoicing in things that are not according to the scripture. You have to rejoice, and he says here, know. And the word know here is not just to know it in your head. It is a knowledge that really that speaks of a close understanding. In fact, the idea of knowing is also used as in the scriptures to have some sexual relationship between a husband and a wife. That's the closeness of the knowledge that you have. You understand. You know. You truly have it in your mind, and you understand that way in a knowledge that is not just, okay, I know him, I know that man, but different from, I know my wife. Okay? So you have to know. That must be in your heart. That must be near you. You have to meditate upon it day and night. If I will do this with this kind of rejoicing in order to cheer my heart, and I try to think about it, I have tried to look on it, but what will be the circumstance? What will be the consequence? What will be the after effect if I do this? It says here, know thou, you have to know, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. God will bring thee into judgment. Whether that's good or bad, whether that's for the Lord or not, whether that's silver, gold, or precious stones, or something that will just be wood, stay, and hay, and stubble. Will these things be just nothing? Because I just went on, we were laughing, we were rejoicing because we have done this, and we have done funny things, but you were drunk. You have done this because you have drugs, or you have some kind of vape that are with this kind of drugs. And then you were happy, you were laughing, you were rejoicing in what you think is rejoicing, but what's the consequence? Remember and know and put it in your mind and in your heart, all It's not what you do in church. It's not what you do inside a family. It's not what you do in school that will be judged. All these things. All means all. And we have to face God. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Yes, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, but still you have to face judgment. Whether you can have a reward or not, or all things that you have done in life will be some kind of just wood, hay, and stubble. Nothing. It will be burned by fire, useless. Your life here on earth will be useless. You were rejoicing, yes, you were laughing. You're jumping up and down in laughter, but it was empty. Remember, know, understand, meditate upon what you are going to do, because all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. God. It's not the angels. It's not any man. It's not any government. It is God, the omnipotent, all-knowing, all-present God. You cannot hide from Him. You're going to say, oh, Lord, you were there. Oh, Lord, you didn't see that. Yes, God knows even what is in your mind, what is in our hearts, what was done in that secret, what was done in the dark, what was done when you were alone, what was done when you're away out there in another country because you have an exchange. Nobody knows you, so you do all these things anyway. No member of our church is here. No one knows. God knows. And you rejoice in there. You are happy with all those friends. They are not Christians. You just do all things that they do because anyway, I'm far from my church. I'm far from my fellowship. They don't know what I'm doing here. But take note, you have to know that all these things God will bring thee into judgment. All judgment. And so we have to rejoice. It is a command. And to keep our heart, be cheered, be glad, delight in things that the Lord has done through us, for us, in us, with us. And then take note that in doing this, we have a certain procedure, prescription. This is the way. You have to do this way. You have to look at it. You have to think of it. You have to understand it. The ways of your, the ways in your heart and the sight of your eyes. Don't just do it because anybody or everybody is doing it. Don't just go because, well, all my friends are doing it. Why can't I? As a believer, as a Christian, we have here this precept from God. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. And then know. It's another command you have to know. To know that there be judgment. And all will be judged. And God will judge. So that will cause us to tremble. That will cause us to think. Some people would think this as, well, where is rejoicing in there when we are limited? I can't do this way. I cannot do that way. I cannot go that place. I cannot enjoy this one. So where is rejoicing? You ask me, where is rejoicing when you cannot do all those worldly ways? This is a question. Are you a goat who wants to feed on worldly things, or are you a sheep who wants to be with God? I'm not saying that you will be like a goody-goody person and just go all and then everything. You have to open your Bible and read the Bible and all these things and show to, you know, and put on some kind of imaginary halo over your head. Like a monk. No, that is not, that's so sad and gloomy also. But you have to rejoice in the right way. And that's why in our memory verse it is, rejoice in the Lord. Not in the world. Not in the accolades of men. Not in the success of this world. Not in what others say that is good. Rejoice in the Lord. You don't even rejoice because you have done that best thing, or you are awarded with that certain thing, or you succeed in such endeavor, but you rejoice because of Him in the Lord. So whether you are successful or not, you can still rejoice in the Lord. You know that the Lord has other purposes for your life. You may not have passed this one, you have not entered this course or entered the school, still you can rejoice. Why? God is good. He has a plan for you. And He purposely have allowed these things to happen because He wants the best for you. And this is something to rejoice. I don't know how much more can I encourage you to rejoice, but this is how God is telling us. And to reflect upon this, we have to go back to the life of the one who wrote this. And I mean, we have to understand the word of God is God's word, inspired, it is God's. But when God inspired His words and led the person to write His word, He did not take out all the experiences and all the knowledge and all the emotions of the writer. That's the mystery of God's word. And so we have this Ecclesiastes as God's word, but it was written by Solomon. And who was Solomon? In his youth, in his young days, he was a chosen young man. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. He had the privilege of building God's temple. He had a privilege of having a kingdom that was at least peaceful. It was a rich kingdom. He was given such wisdom. He was given favor by God. People were supportive of his programs. In fact, you can see here in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 how he has done all things to get to cheer himself, to rejoice. He said here in verse 4, I made me great works. I builded me houses. What will make him happy? I build houses. I have enough resources. I have carpenters. I have people can get to other place, Damascus or whatever, to get those woods or whatever, and you can plant vineyards. Verse 5, I made me gardens and orchards. Whatever he says, whatever he plans, whatever he wants to do, he implemented it, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. It was a joy in his heart to see all this. I made me pools of water to water there with the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens. I had servants born in my house. That's how loyal they were. They don't want to be even emancipated by their being slaves. They want to remain in Solomon's kingdom. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I have so much wealth. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasure of kings and of provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And that's supposed to be something that he has to rejoice and thank God. Thank you for all these things. I mean, if you are a person like Solomon who can say, do this and we can have this, I buy that, I want this and you can have this, you can rejoice. But he says here, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Why? Was it not a cause for him to cheer all these blessings? we can understand why. Because he was in these days moving towards a kind of walk, a walk in his life, close his eyes and just think of it and just use his heart. Or we may say, well, he did not love all those women. He did not care for all those women. He was not somebody who was a man who looks after women. He just want to have the dominion, the cooperation. But then, after that, with all those women he did not see, then came these gods and idols of these women and he worshipped them. He should have known that. He was a wise king. A wise man. Yet he closed his eyes. Bowed down to these idols. Did not use his vision, his eyesight. He judged things without seeing. He judged things without discernment. He judged things without looking on what is godly and what is according to the scriptures. And that's why we know he failed. And this book of Ecclesiastes was his writings when he was already old. And he looked back during those days. I should have rejoiced. I should have those gladness. I should have been happy. I was the most privileged person on earth. And yet, I failed. All was vanity. Why? He did not follow the prescription. He forgot that all things will be brought into judgment. Thank God that during the later part of his life, he realized this. But he has wasted many years in his life that he could have enjoyed, and yet he did not see the rejoicing in his heart because he was out of the way. He was walking not according to God's word. Yes, we have a command to rejoice. But please, young people, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And when you do this, you have to think, if I will do this, will God rejoice with me? Or is it me only rejoicing and laughing and God is grieving, or the Spirit is grieving? If I will say this, if I will do this, if I will go there, if I will have this, will God rejoice with me? Or is it only me that rejoices? Or is it only my friends that rejoice with me? But God is angry with me. Rejoice in thy youth, but rejoice in the Lord. That's the true joy. When I was in my secondary years, I was active with so-called this, not really politics, but that was a time where there was so much political problems in our country. We were under a dictator in the 1980s. So in my whole secondary years, we had so many times that we marched on the streets and having bonfire outside, singing all those nationalistic anthems and supposedly idealistic that we have to replace this government. We have to have a new form of government. And indeed, we are happy our bats saw that. In 1986, many of you are not yet born, there was a change, supposedly. What we call in the Philippines a people power. There was no war, there was not one bullet that was used. There was a change of government. It was 1986. This year is 2026, 40 years later, and I see no rejoicing. No joy. Why? There's no change. Just a change of names. But our country is the same. I don't dare to do things that some of my classmates or friends did. Some of those friends I have, they went to the mountain and fight against the government. I just thank that God providentially arranged that I will become a Christian. That's something that I have to rejoice. There are many things in your life as young people that you want to do. You want to change. You want to apply this. Our church must be like this. Our family must be like this. Our school, my life should be like this. That's your own idea. You have to look at the scriptures and do what God wants you to do, and so you can rejoice in the Lord. While you are young, you have time. You can do more for God. Get into this age. That's a problem. Problem of hearing. My wife will say, do this. I cannot hear. Ask again. Then she will shout because I cannot hear. Then I will say, why shout? Because you cannot hear. Oh, then, yeah. Times, in your days, you still have many things you can do. I challenge you young people. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the youth. Do it in God's way. And remember, there is judgment in the future. And when you do your best to do this as serving the Lord for His sake, then you can expect better rewards. There is much rejoicing, exceeding blissful life in heaven when you truly rejoice in the Lord here on this earth. May the Lord help us and guide us. Let us pray. Our most gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for this evening, reminding us how we must rejoice in this years, O Lord, these days in our world today, there is full of troubles, dangers, many things that we don't know and we don't even see whether there be a kind of ray of light ahead of us. O Lord, we pray that you will allow us to see thy love and the mercy and grace upon us, that we will rejoice in thee and do whatever you want us that we can do for thy glory. And that is true joy. So Father, we pray that you'll bless young people here. O God, be with them. Fill them with thy spirit. Those who have not known thee, O Lord, may you be gracious to save them. Those who are truly saved, Lord, use them mightily. There are so few today among young people who are in thee and are serving thee. We pray that you will use these young people, Lord, even to thy glory and honor. There's so much to do, so many souls to reach, so many things to accomplish. We pray that in them, with thy strength, energy, the ability, Lord, thou wilt prosper their ways in thee. We pray and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.